Welcome. You're listening to the second season of The Baker's Notebook, a podcast about home baking. I'm Stacy, a mom of two, and I enjoy baking with my kids when I'm not teaching biochemistry lab.
And I'm Mia, a romance author and home baker. We're two longtime friends who met and bonded over the perfect apple pie. Bake along with us as we find new recipes to try. Listen as we compare notes about our successes and inevitable failures in the kitchen. Learn along with us as we become better home bakers, one delicious recipe at a time.
This week, we're baking Petit Fours by John Connell of Preppy Kitchen. Bake along with us.
Stacy, can you tell us why you chose Petit Fours for our recipe this week?
Well, I enjoy them. The first time I ever had them when I was a little kid, and my mom was gifted one of those Harry and David, you know, they're the fruit company, but they make these like towered gifts, and it comes just beautifully packaged in all these boxes, and the bottom box is usually some fruit, and then the next box is like nuts, and then on the very top was this small box, and you open it, and inside, I did not know what they were, these just cute little mini cakes. Mm-hmm. With these frosted, like they look like little presents, mm-hmm. because the bow, they were like, the frosting was made into like little bows. And I remember getting to eating those and just feeling like the most special person in the world.
They look like cakes for dolls.
Right. And so I was just like, and I never forgot that. And then I learned what they were called. I learned that, oh, these are what these Petit Four things are called. And I was like, oh, well, that's, you know, in the back of my head, I was like, that's a very special treat. And during the pandemic, during quarantine, you know, we weren't seeing people, and people were getting down and feeling lonely. So my daughters and I thought, you know what, it would be fun. Let's bake things and send out treat boxes to people. And one of the things we thought about doing was Petit Fours, because we thought, what a way to brighten people's day, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Send them a box with Petit Fours in them. And so I'd never done it before. I looked up a recipe. It was kind of a fussy recipe. And I was like, well, that's why these things are special, right? And they were okay, but they were okay. They were fine. And in the back of my head, I was always like, I want to do that again, but I want to mm-hmm. test another recipe. And mm-hmm. so for this, I thought, you know what, let's look up another recipe. Let's try it again. And I had found Preppy Kitchen when we were doing something, and I can't remember what we were doing, but I wanted some frosting, some buttercream for something. And so they had some French buttercream recipes on Preppy Kitchen. And so I was like, let me see what they have for Petit Fours. And it got good reviews. And so mm-hmm. I thought, it's worth a shot. Let's try it.
My first experience with Petit Fours is similar to yours. We used to get these, you know, those gift boxes that you were talking about. Yeah. Ours were from Hickory Farms.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so there were a lot of things that were not that delicious to a little child. You're like, yay, liverwurst spread, yum, right? Like a summer sausage. That's great, Mom, right? But there was always a cute box of four perfectly square little cakes. And mm-hmm. I was like, I didn't know what they were called. And they look like chocolates when you first look at them, right? But then you cut them open and they're miniature cakes with like a bunch of little layers inside. And like, what, honestly, like what little kid wouldn't be like, yeah, this is awesome. this one box makes up for the rest of the weird stuff in this box that I'm not interested in. You know, like you can keep your Brazil nuts. I'm not interested, right? And so when you recommended making this, as I was looking at the recipe, it reminded me of the Great British Bake Off. I can't remember what season it was, mm-hmm. but they made something called Fondant Fancies.
Yes. I think.
Is that the same thing?
It sure looked like the same thing. Mm-hmm. It sure looked like the same. It looked like the same thing as what we think of as our Petit Fours.
Right. So like beautiful little layered cakes and then a poured fondant on top. Like the most lovely little thing, right? And then you recommended the recipe and put it on our schedule, and I was like, oh dear, like this is gonna be work. Like, I gotta make time for this. Like, we gotta clear the schedule. We gotta work on some petty force. And I have to say, even though there are some steps involved and some preparation, it was not as bad as I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah, I have to agree with you.
This recipe is really organized. I appreciate that, right?
I really appreciate how organized this recipe is and the helpful hints he gives along the way.
Mm-hmm.
The other recipe I used did not mention using the freezer the way that he mentions it, in terms of making sure that, like, cake is way easier to cut when it's frozen.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
as we know from Sara Lee Pound Cake.
Exactly. And so think about those nice slices you got from Sara Lee. And so we want those beautiful squares, right? And so you can get those.
Exactly. They have to be really freezing. Clean. Yeah. Right?
And so when you freeze the cake to cut it, to then be able to cut it, it's such a helpful hint that I found using. And so, you know, what he recommends you do is you make the cake. And I think the cake is a pretty straightforward cake recipe, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it does have cream cheese and butter in it.
It's very rich, but I think it has to be kind of dense to be able to hold its shape, right?
I think so. And so it does have both of those things, and milk as well. So, you know, it is a rich cake. And then the vanilla buttercream frosting is more, I guess, what you think of as maybe American buttercream, right? It's just pretty much the butter and the powdered sugar.
Mm-hmm.
And some vanilla and a little bit of milk to dilute it down. So that's kind of very sweet.
but super sweet.
But I felt like the cake wasn't overly sweet. So it held up well. And I think maybe because of the cream cheese and all of that, it held up well to this very sweet buttercream. And then you also use some jam. I used store-bought jam. Did you? What did you do?
Shocking that you used store-bought
jam. I did. I have, but it was really good jam. It was the Tiptree raspberry jam.
Oh, that stuff is delicious.
That's right. So there you go.
It's so good. Yeah. I was having trouble finding some. I wanted seedless raspberry jam.
Oh,
and so I couldn't find it. You know, like I wanted to have something smooth. So I found some. It was like the Knott's, our like local California Knott's brand of raspberry jam.
Okay.
But I felt like it was really sweet, like super sugary sweet.
Oh.
And so the balance wasn't there between the buttercream and the white chocolate. Like mine were like a little bit too sweet. So maybe next time I think I would use like maybe a more European style jam or lemon curd.
Would be lovely.
Mm-hmm.
And but the Tiptree one is a little bit more on the tart side, the raspberry jam. And so that, I was just gonna say, went very beautifully with the very sweet buttercream. Like the contrast there worked.
I think that would be so delicious. We have a grapefruit tree, and so I still have a couple jars of grapefruit marmalade. I think that would be really nice with this recipe.
That would work. Yeah, I think you should go with a tart jam or curd
to balance
the buttercream.
Definitely. And definitely do a very thin layer of both buttercream and jam, like as thin as possible, because if not, your cakes will slide around and they won't be that beautiful cube that you want when you have a petit four.
That's a very good point.
So really, like, have a light hand for that filling.
Because it's so tempting to, right? Mm-hmm. To really fill it. So avoid that temptation. And then did you use, so to cut it into your beautiful cubes, I think he recommended, what did he say? He said, like, he marks it on a piece of paper, the lines. Did you do that or?
I did. I cut an index card that was 1 1¼ inches square.
Okay.
And then I used a ruler.
Okay.
And so I used the square to kind of like measure and do clean 90-degree corners.
Uh-huh.
And then I used the ruler just to cut everything straight.
Yeah. Great. Great.
And so easy one. And it's so important to freeze the cake because yes. I started doing it before it was cold enough and it just started to fall apart and I was sad.
So, but then did you put it back in the freezer?
Yeah, I put it back in the freezer and I was like, no. We must do this the correct way. And then after that, it's like totally a different experience.
Yeah, it cuts really nicely when it's frozen, mm-hmm. right? And you get these nice clean lines. So I happen to have a ruler that was about 1.25 inches in width.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah, so I just laid the ruler. I washed it. The ruler was very clean. I laid it right on the frozen cake and just cut that way. You know, mm-hmm. used it truly as – it stayed on the cake while I was cutting.
Mm-hmm.
And then – then turned it around the other way to cut the cubes.
I only cut, and one of the recommendations he makes is if you don't want whatever 4,000 tiny cakes, mm-hmm. it's because you're making this in a sheet pan. The, mm-hmm. the cake is really big. I cut half of them into the cubes, and then we just ate the other half as cake.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I actually just cut the recipe in half and baked it in a quarter sheet pan. Instead of a half sheet pan.
Got it.
And if you do bake it in a quarter sheet pan, the bake time decreases to about 20 minutes. So it's not a huge decrease because I think his bake time suggestion was
25 to 30.
Yeah. So I started looking at it at about, I think, 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And it seemed to be done at 20. You know, you get the classic, the cake pulling away from the side of the pan, mm-hmm. toothpick came out clean. So that's when I took it out at the 20 minute mark.
Cool.
Yeah. Because I didn't want to have a huge amount of these petit fours. And plus I don't have a huge amount of space in my freezer.
Right.
To fit that much cake.
We had to clear the decks. Yeah.
Okay. So part of the planning ahead should involve making sure there's enough room in your freezer.
To put a sheet pan in, right?
Yeah, yeah. So keep that in mind.
But oh my gosh, how delicious the little cakes were, even without the frosting.
Oh, so you didn't frost it? The one that?
The other half, no. Yeah. Only one half, right.
Oh, and so then you just ate it?
We just ate cake, man. And it was delicious. It's got a little buttercream in there. It's got a little jam. They're like little sandwiches.
Right.
If you just cut them into normal size pieces of cake, they're really tasty. Yeah.
And then once you had the fondant on there, the coating, mm-hmm. did mm-hmm. you refreeze them or what did you do?
No. I didn't have that many. So I gave a bunch of them away.
Okay.
And kept them at room temperature. So they didn't last very long.
Okay.
Yeah.
I refroze mine. So it was really nice. It fit back onto my little quarter sheet pan mm-hmm. and I put them in little, and I refroze it. And then once they were like frozen so that you could really handle them nicely, I mm-hmm. put them in little paper cups
mm-hmm.
and then put them back.
You mean like cupcake cups?
Yeah, but mini ones, like the mini cupcake cups.
Mm-hmm.
And then put them all back in the freezer. And then you opened up the freezer. It was so pretty. There were these petit fours looking back at you. And it made my kids very happy
to look in the freezer.
Freezer and be like, oh. And then we would take out however many we wanted that night for dessert. And they just took about 30 minutes at room temperature to thaw mm-hmm. from frozen.
They'd probably be pretty good frozen too, I imagine. I don't know. What's frozen fondant like?
It's pretty solid.
Oh, okay. So you have to wait.
I don't know how enjoyable it would be. Well, my daughter was like, should I just eat it frozen? I'm like, if you want, but it's kind of, I mean, you could tap on it, you know?
Right.
And so I was like, or you could just eat it after dinner.
Mm-hmm. An option. Oh, I really liked the fondant. I was surprised. I thought it would be kind of a nightmare making fondant like this because it's pouring fondant. It just looks really messy and sticky. Like it would be hard to handle. You'd have to keep it at a certain temperature. This was not bad at all.
And what white chocolate did you use for it?
I used the Ghirardelli blocks, the kind that he recommended on the website.
That's awesome. Yeah. I did exactly what he did not recommend.
Did you use chips?
Yeah.
How did it turn out? Because I've tried to melt chips before. Oh, sweet. I tried to make like a white chocolate ganache with chips and it was a mess.
Yeah, but I did do it over a double broiler. So
Okay. Yeah.
the water bath underneath, right? And so it's very slow melting. But I felt like with this one, because you had the corn syrup in there,
Yeah, it wouldn't
that,
seize up or be weird.
yeah. So I thought I'd be okay. And I was. So,
Cool.
and the reason I did is because that's what I had. And
Right.
I didn't want to go buy something else. And it was kind of like, well, if this fails, then I'll go buy something else. And it didn't fail. So,
Cool. That's good
yes.
to know.
I wouldn't go buy the chips if, you know, for this, unless there's like a big price difference, then maybe go with the chips. Because I would probably do what he recommends, just because
The
there's probably a
blocks
reason he
are,
recommends it.
it's not, I don't see them very many places. I can't remember where I bought mine. I think, oh
So by
gosh,
blocks,
yeah.
does it look like a candy, like a giant candy bar?
It does.
Or
They're the, like when you go into the baking section and there's like the baker's chocolate
yes.
blocks for baking. It's like that, but it's Ghirardelli and it's white
Okay.
chocolate.
Okay.
So it's not a white chocolate bar that you would eat, but it's the kind that you bake with.
Right.
And it melted beautifully on in a double boiler and it stayed a nice consistency throughout.
Great. Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah,
Yeah.
I think mine, I had to reheat it. I put it back in the microwave at one point
Got it.
because it
Got it.
started to get a little thick,
I may have added
as
a
it was
drop or
cooling.
two. I think I added a drop or two of hot water.
It does say 1/3 cup hot water, more if needed.
Yeah,
So,
so as it started to get kind of thicker, because
yeah.
you're dipping a lot of little cakes in this, it
Yeah.
started to get a little bit thicker, so I added like a tiny sprinkling of hot water and then it was fine.
Oh, okay. That
Yeah.
probably was a better idea. I just stuck it in the microwave. But
That works too.
I think adding more hot water makes sense because it also says more if needed. So that totally.
But it was literally like a teaspoon, maybe less, and it was
Okay.
fine. Yeah.
Well, it does says you can mix in more hot water a teaspoon at a time.
I
So,
followed directions. I didn't even remember. Good looking out, John Cannell.
and one thing he does recommend is, you know, have the cubes in the freezer, take out what you're gonna dip, and then take out more cubes. Like,
Yeah, keep it in the freezer if you can.
and I think that's a really good suggestion.
Buttercream melts really easily, so
Yes.
yeah.
And I think if once it gets to room temperature, keeping those pieces together while you're dipping it in the fondant, I can imagine becomes an issue. Because the first time I did it, that was one of my issues because I didn't freeze it. And I remember thinking, gosh, this is not,
It's such a mess.
yeah.
Yeah.
And so the freezing was just such a brilliant, I don't know why I didn't think like,
I'm gonna,
oh, let's freeze
it's
it.
a technique that I think would work if you're working with cake in general and you have to do any carving or layering.
Yeah.
Or trimming, like frozen cake is a totally different substance than room
Yeah.
temperature cake.
Yeah. That's a
Brilliant,
great
right?
point. Yeah,
I
that's a
like
great
that.
point.
And I like the way that he describes the dipping technique because I've made dipped truffles before and they never looked as neat as I wanted them to look. So I was like, my fondant cakes are gonna look like I made them with my feet. Like they're just gonna be ugly. I have this feeling, right? But he has this technique, and let me see if I can read it. I also read, which I enjoy, he was an English teacher for a long
Oh,
and so I'm like,
kindred spirits.
no wonder it's so clearly written
It
and
is
has
very nicely written.
so many annotations, so much extra information. Thank you for that. So the way that he recommends decorating these tiny little cake cubes is you take the cubes out of the freezer, you put one on a fork, and then dip it. Dip the bottom into the fondant so the bottom has a little bit of fondant. I didn't do that part. But you place it on top of a fork and then spoon fondant over the top. And if it's the right consistency, it'll start to smooth out itself. And then you tap the fork on the edge of the bowl. And what happens is that it flattens out completely without any help from you. It's the tapping that makes it so smooth. And I was like,
Yeah.
this is brilliant. This is all I needed to know to make such a beautiful little cake. All I had to do was not touch it, not have any involvement. And it's beautiful. Like just tap it
Yeah.
and
It
let
drips
gravity
off.
glaze
Yeah.
it. Oh my gosh, such a great tip.
Yeah, that was a good idea. And then he says, put them on the wire rack, over a baking sheet. And that's really good advice because it's continuing to drip a little bit.
Right. So you're going to have these big pools unless you put it on a sheet where it can drain.
Yes. And also over a, that sheet should be on a baking sheet so that you don't have those big pools on your kitchen counter, or table or wherever it is, because that would be big and sticky.
And not, sad.
And not so fun. So his advice is very good too.
Do you ever read recipes where you're like, oh, this person's taking care of me. Thank you.
Yeah. Right. And that's how you feel about him. Mm-hmm. So how did you decorate yours?
I colored the fondant with a little bit of purple gel coloring.
Ooh, that's and pretty.
And then I'm not a good piper. So I have this fancy bottle of sprinkles.
Oh, yeah.
So I just put, there's like different shapes and colors. And so I just sprinkled them with sprinkles when the fondant was still wet.
Oh, that's smart. That's smart.
How did you do yours?
Well, I kept my fondant white. Mm-hmm. And then so I just took a little bit of the buttercream. It made a lot of buttercream. I have to say.
Yeah.
Did it make more than you needed?
I did not use all of it. No.
Yes, it made more than I needed. It did say if you plan on decorating it to add, you know, that you could basically add another cup and another cup of butter, another quarter cup of butter and another cup of confectioner sugar if you want to make decorations. I don't think you need to do that. I think there's enough buttercream with the current recipe to fill and decorate.
Yeah, so, definitely. Yeah, I had a lot of extra. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a part of me that thinks we could almost cut the buttercream recipe down a little
bit. Half almost.
Yeah. So I did took some, dyed it pink and some green, and tried to make little flowers, leaves and flowers.
Cute.
Yeah, because I just thought that would be cute. But I like your sprinkle idea because I feel like that will transport better. So one thing that was an issue when I did mail my petit fours to people.
Oh, you mailed them. Wow.
Is that the frosting on top, mail gets thrown around. It gets turned upside down.
Yeah.
The flowers no longer look like flowers. It looked like some sort of funky tie-dye design.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So sprinkles is perfect.
Because yeah, and they don't fall off either because they're when the fondant hardens, they're pretty much stuck.
Yeah, so that's a brilliant idea. I like that.
See, next time. Laziness. But little flowers, if you're having a tea party, how beautiful.
Just don't mail them.
Don't mail them.
Mia, what do you have planned for us next week?
Next week we're making, by request from my mother-in-law, Jane. Hi, Jane. Lemon meringue pie from Alice Waters for the New York Times. Thanks for baking along with us this week. For links to the recipes and other notes, please check out our website, www.thebakersnotebook.com, or follow us on Twitter or Instagram at Baker's Notebook. You can leave us a voice message on our website if you'd like to be featured on the show. If you bake any of these recipes, please make sure to tag us on social media. We'd love to see what you create. Until next time, happy baking!